Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Can't ask for more than we have for you on this fabulous Friday with the NFL draft 6 days away. We dive into that. The NBA playoffs, 8 matchups over the next 2 days and 2 games tonight. We're all over that as well. We'll mix in a little baseball and a few laughs along the way. Let's go.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
Well, the place to start is with the assembled members of the hashtag crew assembling around me here. Hembo was with me in New York. Bubba and Cam are in Bristol. Pineapple Jack is probably somewhere. We'll get him involved in the conversation today. Brandon is here. We'll get him involved in the conversation somewhere. And fascinating things are happening as we speak. I call to your attention the following information. Okay, so the other day, Jaden Daniels, presumptive number 2 pick in this draft, and I put that word in air quotes for all of you listening on the radio, presumptive number 2 pick in the draft, was one of 4 quarterbacks invited by the Commanders to come and visit with them on Wednesday. And that did not sit well with him. It did not sit well with his agent. His agent posted the little, you know, smiley, not smiley, like questioning face emoji to express what certainly seemed to be at least some dislike for the way Washington had gone about that. But I never pay much attention to that because the agent doesn't get to decide what happens here. Generally speaking, the player doesn't get to decide what happens here. You know who usually knows what's happening here? The people in Las Vegas. So I present this for your reaction. The opening line on Jaden Daniels to be the number 2 pick was plus 180. Yesterday at around noon, it was plus 350.
Minus 350.
What did I say?
Plus.
Minus 350. It had moved all the way. He had gone from being someone who no one expected to go second to being someone who everyone was practically certain would go second. And then all this stuff happened with the agent the other night and all the conversations. And then he went and visited with the Minnesota Vikings. And suddenly, as of this moment, those odds have moved to minus 130. The certainty seems a whole lot less certain now. Hembo, how should we react to that?
We should react to it in such a way that the number 2 pick is no longer a one-horse race. Now, I want to make something clear. Oftentimes, the betting market drives this stuff. And other times, it's intel that drives this stuff, as you well know. I take my cues from Adam Schefter, the best insider in the business. And he was saying with certainty, just a week ago, the Commanders were going to take Jaden Daniels with the 2nd pick. Adam Schefter yesterday said, like you just said, this little sleepover that they put together in Washington didn't sit so well with his agent, which does tell me that we have opened up a new can of worms. We know Caleb Williams is going 1-1. We now no longer know for sure who's going with the 2nd pick.
What I am about to engage in is reckless speculation. Let me make it perfectly clear. I am not reporting any of the things I'm about to say. I'm just imagining what this might be. Because I am a big believer in Occam's razor. I'm a big believer in the concept that usually the explanation for something is the likeliest explanation possible. The likeliest reason something is happening is usually the reason it's happening. Certainly not always. But there have been whispers, and this is not new information. There have been whispers that Jaden Daniels didn't want to go to Washington, just as there were whispers that Caleb Williams didn't want to go to Chicago. And over the course of time, Caleb Williams made it obviously came to the conclusion that he's comfortable, he's happy, and he's going. Thus, there are no more questions at number 1. Jaden Daniels is very close to Antonio Pierce, who is now the coach of the Raiders, but was at Arizona State when he, Jaden Daniels, first went there. There have long been beliefs that the family would love to figure out a way to get Jaden Daniels to the Raiders. There's nothing wrong with that. That Antonio Pierce and the Raiders would do anything to try and get him. There's nothing wrong with that either. Now, they pick at 13. Getting from 13 to 2 is going to be probably impossible. So the likelihood is not this. But here's my Occam's razor theory. That if Jaden Daniels is sort of hinting, suggesting, whatever the case may be, to Washington, this is not where I want to be, then one of the things you do is you say, okay, You're not so excited to be here? Let me show you what I can do. You don't want to be the second pick in this draft? Let me show you all the other people that I could bring in here. I mean, let's stop with the nonsense here and figure out, you're coming or not? All of a sudden, he's meeting with the Vikings. The Vikings could be a team that could trade up. The Patriots are a team that could trade up or back, depending on their circumstance. They have a general manager who comes from a pedigree of quarterback drafters, right? Elliot Wolf's father is Ron Wolf, who literally drafted a quarterback every single year and once traded for Brett Favre. So that's what I think is going on. I think that there is stuff behind the scenes that's happening here that is complicating the issue. And Washington and Jaden are figuring out where it's all going to leave them. I would add to this, if you're a quarterback prospect and I give you the option of going to play for the Washington Commanders, unproven circumstance, you have a brand new general manager, you have a head coach who, of course, did have success in Atlanta, taking a team to a Super Bowl, but a defensive-minded coach and all the rest of that, and quarterback coach there, of course, is Cliff Kingsbury, which I think would be appealing to most quarterbacks, but I don't know. Would you choose that? Or if you had the option of finding a way to get yourself to Minnesota, where Kevin O'Connell, former NFL quarterback, longtime NFL offensive genius, is the head coach and the play caller, and your receivers are Justin Jefferson on one side, Jordan Addison on the other, TJ Hockenson at tight end, Aaron Jones lined up behind you in the backfield. Which of those circumstances would you like to figure out a way to get to? It's almost, it's not even a question worth asking.
It's rhetorical.
It's a rhetorical question. So I think there's stuff going on here. And I think it is not as simple as Jaden Daniels will be the second pick in this draft. Let me put it this way. I think he'll be the second pick in this draft. I'm not convinced Washington makes it.
Allow me to add one layer to this thing. Commander's new owner, Josh Harris, is not a new owner in sports. He owned the 76ers during the time in which they went through the process, the vaunted process. The only reason I make mention of it is the fact that this is a human being, a person who has owned a team before, with proclivities to do non-standard things. The 76ers process was basically a brazen tank to the level that no team in NBA history had ever pulled off.
Or any sport for that matter.
Or any sport for that matter, and they did so brazenly. They did so braggadociously, and the city got behind them. Why do I make mention of it? Well, I think in almost any other context, you're the owner of the team. Your team has the second pick in a quarterback-rich draft. You take the quarterback there that you like the most. But what his history in Philadelphia tells me is that there's a chance that they have potentially a longer-term outlook up their sleeve. And if they've gotten the same intel that you think might be possible, which is Jaden Daniels doesn't want to come here, it is not obvious to me that they're going to take the same kind of swing that any other team in that situation would take.
Now, who put this thing about last year and Will Levis in the dock? Was that Cam? Was that you?
Yes.
All right, so explain
it just
to everybody
me.
What it is.
Yeah, so last year, literally 2 days before the NFL draft, Will Levis, I forget exactly where he was projected to go. Obviously, he ends up falling to the second round, which was the big slide in round one, but there was some Reddit post that literally shifted his odds to go number one overall from 40-1 to 4-1 on DraftKings. The Reddit post literally just claimed Will Levis is telling friends and family that Carolina will in fact take him on Thursday. So that just shows how fickle the odds movements in the draft are. I think that's a lot more speculative than maybe this situation is. That seems like it has a little bit more concrete stuff going on, but this stuff can change on a dime, and it doesn't always mean that the tea leaves we're reading are correct.
Right. You're 100% right. And it's an important point to make. Let's go a little deeper into that. Because there are a lot of people who are relatively new to gambling. Right? This is now legal, and we're in a different world, and there are a lot of people who are interested in it and talking about it and thinking about it that never have before and haven't grown up with this being a part of paying attention to odds like this being a part of their sports fandom. There are two ways this can go. You touched on it, but let's go a little deeper into it. There are two ways odds can move like this. One is reactively. The other is proactively. So one way is a lot of money starts coming in on something and they have to change the numbers. They have to change the numbers to protect themselves. That's what they do. They try and equal everything out. And if all other things being equal at a place like ESPN Bet and all the other sports books in the world, if their life was perfect, it would be because an equal amount of money was bet on literally every single possibility in every proposition. That way they can't lose no matter what. The house wins. So they're always going to move their line if large sums of money are placed in one direction or another, which is the way these things frequently go. Parenthetically, that's the way things like what happened with Jontae Murray the other day wound up getting caught, and that kind of stuff, because large amounts of money being wagered in places that they don't really make sense set off a bunch of red flags. But that's a separate conversation. So that's one way this can go. That's the reactive way. The proactive way is that they start getting information, the people in Vegas who have just the same kind of insiders we do. They have their own versions of Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington and all the other insiders. Start getting word of the fact that this is a possibility. Because what they know is, we know it, other people are gonna find it out. And so they move proactively because the information is going to become more widely known, and they want to get ahead of that game so that people who have this, people, what's the word, insider trading, right? So people there right now, 10 people know this. You don't want all those 10 people betting $1 million on something that the whole world is going to find out about 2 days from now.
Mm-hmm.
So what we don't know is if this line has been moved proactively or reactively. And we won't know, I guess, until we see what happens next Thursday.
You did a great job of describing that. The difference between this situation and the situation last year with Will Levis, as Cam has described, is that the team in this case is in large part controlling why this is happening. When you bring in four quarterbacks for the sleepover, that is at minimum.
I like you calling it the sleepover, by the way.
Is it not accurate?
I don't think they slept there, but it is funny.
But it felt very high school to me.
More like a play date.
By the way,
we haven't had a sleepover like that since Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones.
That was a sleepover.
Or when Bubba went down to New York for the first Aaron Rodgers game.
By the way,
that was branded the sleepover as well.
Me and Damian, yeah.
Can I mention, Bubba, that no matter what else happens, you're back in for that. We have decided.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Can I make an important announcement, by the way?
Please.
I feel like I need to make a very important announcement about a decision I've come to.
I need you to listen carefully.
I just want you to know.
So after the catastrophe that befell us for the Jets opening game last year, just four plays into the season, losing the most exciting thing that had happened to the franchise in my lifetime, four plays into week one.
Still so insane.
You would think that my reaction would be, we must do none of the same things. My usual reaction, my inclination is to say, I must do none of the same things. I can wear none of the same clothing. I can eat none of the same food. I can see none of the same people. I cannot be in the same place. I must do everything differently than I did on that Monday night. But to the point of what Bubba just said, this was so ridiculous. It was so far beyond the worst case scenario you could have realistically envisioned that I've decided we must actually have an exorcism. We are going to exorcise the demons what happened. So rather than not doing any of the same things, I want to do exactly the same things.
Right.
I beg the NFL to put us on a Monday night. Please put us in the opening Monday night so we can fully do this the same way. But we don't control when the Jets play their first game. But we do control how we view it. So I'm telling you right now, Bubba, do not make other plans. You, Graziano, Dominique Foxworth, Damian Woody, my daughter and a bunch of her friends,
right,
my nephew and a bunch of his friends,
yep,
I'm getting that same screening room in my building.
Yep.
I'm ordering the exact same food.
Yep, nachos, yep.
I'm pizzas. Wearing the exact same outfit I was, and I'm asking each of you to do the same.
Yep.
You and D Wood are sleeping over at my house.
Yep.
And we are just recreating exactly what we did so that we can just pretend this whole year didn't happen. It's like we dreamt it. We're waking up and it's the first series of the season with Aaron Rodgers. And like none of the things that have happened actually took place. We must recreate it. That's the decision I've come to. Bubba, how do you feel about it?
I think it's the right move. I think it's smart. I think it's way beyond just saying, oh no, we got a superstition. We can't do that. We can't do this. Like you said, it's so past that and so beyond that. We got to go exorcism style, like you mentioned. It's the smart move, and it's only going to pay off into more W's.
Now, if anyone would understand this, I think, Kemba, it would be you. How do you feel about the proposition of an exorcism here? Will this work?
It will work. It's the you equivalent of burying the tape, right?
Right.
Bury the tape game.
I'm banishing Satan. Right, that's technically what an exorcism is, right?
Yes, banishing is an interesting.
Well, banishing.
I mean, exorcising is the
exorcising, whatever it is.
The power of Aaron compels you.
That's what I'm doing.
And he actually probably does believe in that stuff.
That's well played. This is Greeny coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance.
Wow, okay, and how are your trivia skills?
This is Sneaky Himbo Trivia.
Regular sneaky or extra sneaky?
Himbo, go.
Group trivia. There are three current NBA franchises to never have a first-team All-NBA player. You're going to give me all three NBA teams that have never had a first-team All-NBA selection? That's the question.
I like it. I will ask if one of them can have had one as an owner. And that's sort of a giveaway hint of one of the people I'm thinking of. The answer is next on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/gift finder today. That's Macy's.com/gift finder. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
This is a good and tough question. Greeny with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. In 30 seconds, we'll try and conquer Himbo trivia. That's after this word from Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Himbo, go.
I am looking at a list. There are three current NBA franchises to never have a first-team All-NBA player. And as a group, you're going to give me all three NBA teams to never have a first-team All-NBA selection.
And all of these apply to the entire history of those franchises. So, for example, The Los Angeles Clippers, who before that were the San Diego Clippers, who before that were the Buffalo Braves. If Bob McAdoo was first team All-NBA for them, the Clippers wouldn't be the answer.
That is correct. The way that you just described it is the exact way I'm looking at this. By franchise, not by city, not by team, but by franchise.
And then the other one that we must clear up is the Hornets of it all. So the New Orleans Pelicans are not the former Charlotte Hornets.
That's right. The New Orleans Pelicans were formerly the New Orleans Hornets, which is a franchise that dates to 2002, whereas the Charlotte Hornets, the current Charlotte Hornets, were originally the Charlotte Hornets, then became the Bobcats, and then became the Hornets again. So for those two franchises, just think about the cities in which they play, and the franchises that have always played in those cities count for those franchises.
Huh. Seems unnecessarily confusing.
It really is. The way they did that is super weird.
Yeah. That said, guys, I'm stumped. So it's not going to be the Clippers.
Let me also throw this out. I see Jack is up there. Does he have, can he hear us?
Yeah.
I can today. Jack, yeah.
Because, all right, thank God. If not, we're going
to
throw him off.
Because yesterday, Jack did a whole segment without an earpiece, and Bubba and Cam were talking to him, and he just didn't know it.
Oh,
right. I think I did a pretty good job of the lip reading, though.
Hey, you did a terrible job wearing headphones.
It's a radio show.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not that complicated. We are in the communication business, and it doesn't seem that complicated that hearing the other people on the show is a prerequisite for being a part of the show. Now,
we got a lot of options. It's
so
very difficult.
Here are a few of them. Bubba just brought up to me Indiana. So Reggie Miller obviously was a Hall of Famer and is an all-time great. Would he have been an All-NBA first team? Pretty much his entire career would have overlapped with Michael Jordan's career. So that's one of the two spots.
Yeah, that was also right when they could only pick two, right?
Yeah.
But you have to remember that.
Yeah, meaning it wasn't positionless.
Right.
I think it just became positionless last year. So absolutely. I mean, I wasn't a voter then, obviously, but I think you're right.
I like that one.
I think
who else was
anyone worth forgetting?
Could Paul George have maybe snuck on? He got a big hype train.
First team, though.
I don't think so, but
it's a good thought to have.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
I like Charlotte.
Someone like George McGinnis.
Well, Charlotte, I mean, the only other options with Charlotte would have been Alonzo Mourning.
Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson, could they have gotten it?
And Kemba definitely didn't.
Kemba did not.
But I think Alonzo and Larry Johnson are theoretically – Alonzo Mourning.
Alonzo Mourning and Larry Johnson, they were a very good duo. People forget that they were together there. People tend to think of Alonzo more in Miami and Larry Johnson more with the Knicks. But they were a very good team.
I think it's both Hornets-Pacers.
So we think it's both Hornets and Pacers. Okay.
And I would also throw the Grizzlies out there.
Yeah,
I like
Grizzlies
that we talked
too.
About.
So we don't think Ja made first team?
I don't think so.
Do we think someone like Marc Gasol might have made first
Zach Randolph,
team at their
Mike
best?
Conley.
Top five in the league is just insane.
Yeah, I think they were a great team, but I don't think they really had one star that propped
the
up.
The other
first
one
team.
I threw out was the Hawks, because Dominique Wilkins would be the obvious one, but would he have been first team?
I think the problem with that is the Hawks also go back a very long way.
Bob Pettit there?
Yes, they were an original NBA franchise, or if not, they were right near the beginning. So I think that you run a real risk. How long have they been naming these teams? Do you know this?
What do you mean? Like
first team All-NBA? Does this go back to
this goes back all the way.
The
this goes back
okay.
all the way.
Then that would make me very nervous, because the Hawks will have had someone on their team that I don't even know was on the Hawks that will have been one of the greatest players of all time. That would scare me. The Pacers are an ABA team. I remember their entire NBA existence. I remember the entire Memphis Grizzlies, previously Vancouver, and Hornets existence.
What about Toronto?
Toronto had Vince Carter. Toronto had Tracy McGrady.
Yeah. Kawhi.
I don't think any of those guys in the 2010s would have made it on. Maybe Kawhi, but I don't think he had that great of a regular season.
Because he doesn't play that many games.
Yeah.
But I think Vince Carter might have made it. There's a good chance. I mean, Vince Carter was
he was great.
All right, let's start with a guess.
Cam, who are you most confident in?
I think we go all three. I don't want to spend too much time on this. I think we lay out our three here. We feel good about our three, right?
Let's go one at a time, though.
You want to go one at a time? All right. Our first one is going to be the Indiana Pacers.
That's correct.
Okay.
Which is stunning that you guys got that first. I thought that was the hardest one, so very well done.
You're welcome.
Well, his saying that's the hardest one suggests our other two are right. Right? We feel good about the Grizzlies?
You never know with Hembo.
Grizzlies and
we feel
and
good
Charlotte.
About the Grizzlies and the Charlottes?
I feel good about them, but don't take Hembo's tips for anything.
Well, whatever. I'm going to say the Grizzlies.
That's wrong.
Oh!
Ja Morant?
Marc Gasol did it once.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
Damn it. I knew I was Charlotte.
That's right.
Okay.
Toronto?
Who the hell is the third one? It's not the Nets, is it? The Nets had... Wasn't Jason Kidd first team All-NBA with the Nets? Dr. J would not have been.
Maybe like Buck Williams back in the
day. No, I don't think he would have been first team All-NBA. He was a good player. He would have been an all-star. Could it be the Nets?
It's not the Nets.
Is it... Who would we not say?
Is it the Raptors?
It's the Raptors.
Oh my God. Vince Carter was second team?
Never made first. Can you believe that?
No.
Can you believe that?
Obviously, I can't. As evidenced by the fact that we got that wrong as a result.
Jason Kidd did it twice, actually, with the Nets.
That is an excruciatingly frustrating one to get wrong, and I blame Pineapple Jets. Next.
The list is what determines who matters in this business.
The Green List.
Jack, stay in for this conversation, too. Today's Green List is brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains April 19th through the 22nd. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Today's list are the five people that I think are under the most pressure to perform as the NBA playoffs begin. This, to me, are the five people or groups of people that I think are under the most pressure. Pressure comes in a lot of different sizes, shapes, and colors.
Number five.
That's why at number five I have Jalen Brunson. Now, let me explain before all the Knick fans start yelling at me. I, like you, love Jalen Brunson. He has exceeded my wildest imagination for what his ceiling was as a player. He has put the Knicks on his back and carried them to the two seed. I voted for him second team All-NBA. He has been brilliant. And nothing that happens in this series will change that. However, I do think that the Knicks will go exclusively as far as he takes them. As much as any team in the NBA, there is as much responsibility on the shoulders of Jalen Brunson to be brilliant in every playoff game his team is going to win as there is on any other player in the league. And most of the other players we would say that about are perennial superstars, are players with experience. Jalen Brunson does not have that experience. Jalen Brunson made one deep playoff run with Dallas. Luka was the best player on that team. So if this team is going to win and they're a second seed, I think all of the pressure is on him to carry them. You buy that or not?
I buy it. Since the All-Star break, Jalen Brunson averaged 31.1 points a game. The most since Bernard King in 1985 for that franchise. The biggest question I have, how do they perform in the non-Jalen Brunson minutes? Since the All-Star break, the Knicks own a minus 12 net rating when he's off the floor. That's worse than the worst team in the NBA. Those, I don't know, 6 to 8 minutes a game, Greeny, might well determine who wins the series against Philly.
How do you feel about it, Pineapple Jack?
The only thing I might say is I would consider Thibodeau there. He's got kind of a reputation as a playoff choker, a guy who really excels in the regular season and underperforms in the playoffs. And if they're bounced in maybe the first round by a good Sixers team, yeah, I think people are going to start calling for his job.
Hmm.
Thibodeau?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think he's done an unbelievable job there.
I agree with you. I'm just saying he has that reputation
from Chicago. Let me say this. Here's why Tom Thibodeau's teams have a reputation for underperforming in the playoffs. It's because they perform in the regular season. Tom Thibodeau's guys play. They play every game, and they play hard for him every single night. That's why their record is better than their talent. That's called great coaching. Then they get into the playoffs, and everybody's guys play every game, and everybody's playing hard, and suddenly the fact that the Knicks aren't as talented as some of these other teams becomes a factor, and now we're going to blame the coach?
He's such a good coach that he oversees his own teams.
That's basically exactly what it is. I am firing Pineapple Jack for that take.
Hey, I'm with you. It's not my take. It's the take of the people.
You just
fire
it
Tom
to
Thibodeau.
The people.
I have the pulse.
Yeah, but I don't think you have your finger on the pulse.
Number four.
Right now, number four, I'm putting the Clipper stars. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. We're going to do something?
I thought you said the Clipper stars. You just named players that aren't stars.
They're stars. They're not always players. But they're stars. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is the only one who has any postseason pedigree. Russell Westbrook's postseason career is a history of disappointment. James Harden's is worse. Paul George's has been up and down, and they're never healthy. So their owner, who's got all the money in the world plus $10, put this team together. Is it ever going to give us anything? This is the chance. They go into this thing in a series. Everyone thinks they're going to lose. Everyone thinks Dallas is going to. Pineapple Jack, who's going to win that series?
I think the Mavericks have the best player in the series.
I'm not convinced they don't have the two best
players. Jack, I'm looking at your bracket, and you advanced the Clippers to the Western Conference Finals.
I did.
Why did you not just say the Clippers?
Well, because I do think they have Kawhi Leonard, who can defend Luka. You were talking about his defense yesterday.
So why, when I just asked you who you think was going to win, did you just say the Mavericks? I mean, Jack, you can confuse me.
You just fired Tom Thibodeau and also gave Greeny a different answer than you wrote down.
In this conversation so far, we're only two segments in. Pineapple Jack has fired Tom Thibodeau for being too good a coach. And now has picked against himself in the playoff, in the Western Conference playoff.
Can't wait for the next one.
I'm confused by this. Well, I can't wait to bounce this one off.
Number three.
And number three, I have Kevin Durant. Because what I think is about to happen is we're going to be living in a world where Kyrie Irving is going to make a very deep playoff run, and Kevin Durant is going to get knocked out in the first round. And I know the Kevin Durant defenders are going to come out of the woodwork. Oh, but he's still balling. He's been great. He's been brilliant. Can't blame him. Well, at what point, if you're going to be one of the greatest players of all time, do you actually have to win? At what point does that become part of the conversation? Why is that the criteria for every other immortal, and somehow we excuse it for him? Kevin Durant made all these decisions himself, including handpicking Phoenix. And now Kyrie Irving, the two of them came together, and Irving is going to wind up maybe in the NBA Finals, and KD is going to get knocked out in round one. I think that is a lot of pressure.
Yeah, Kevin Durant has won two playoff series since the 2019 NBA Finals. Like you said, this is the bet that he made for himself. He's favored in this series over Minnesota. I think I like Minnesota in the series. Vegas likes him. If the Suns are knocked out in the first round this year, I think Kevin Durant's going to hear it from the people in the back.
What do you think of this, Pineapple Jack?
He definitely will. Since Golden State, he'll never get the benefit of the doubt. And if they lose the series, he should rightfully be crushed.
Who's going to win the series?
I think they'll win the series.
You think they'll win?
Yeah.
That matches his bracket.
They should fire him if they lose, too.
That's exactly right. And he and Tom Thibodeau will go somewhere as a package deal.
Number two,
I put Doc Rivers. Now, when I did this earlier in the week, a bunch of people told me I should be putting Damian Lillard. But I'm not putting Damian Lillard because I don't think Damian Lillard is that worried about it to begin with. Please don't mistake what I'm saying. Damian Lillard is a pro. He's a great player, and he wants to win. But I think if they lose and they wind up breaking this team up, I think Damian Lillard will be fine with that. I think will be just perfectly fine going somewhere else. Doc Rivers, meanwhile, will have egg on his face. He will have an omelet on his face. I can't even begin to. He will have like a huge breakfast. What are those, you know, in those places where you get like
continental?
A grand slam breakfast? Yeah, he'll be having like the outstanding breakfast buffet that you get like at a really nice resort. You get up in the morning and they got, oh, would you like, we're making eggs. We got an omelet station over here. We got pancakes being made fresh for you. Whatever. He'll have all that on his
pineapple.
Face.
Pineapple.
Fresh pineapple. In the event that they get knocked out in this first
Of course,
round.
It has to be the case. Doc Rivers has a losing record with this team. This team that he thrust himself in the middle of their season. Damian Lillard obviously has something to prove, especially without Giannis. He's going to have to bear a chunk of the responsibility. But Doc Rivers took over a 30-13 team. And no matter what the health is of Giannis, if they get knocked out by Indiana, Jack, I can't imagine that Doc Rivers is not going to have H to pay on First Take the day after that.
Yeah, you touched on it a bit. I think he might get some leniency from the Giannis injury, but I never really thought Rivers was a good fit there. There was something fishy about that hire. And
of course.
The fact that they've played with no identity this season and seriously underperformed is a bad sign on his part.
So who did Jack pick in his bracket?
Jack is taking Indiana.
Can't
Are
wait
you?
For Doc to be the next Knicks coach.
I like Indiana in that series.
Doc can take over for Thibodeau after Jack fires him. Bubba, who wins that series?
I think the Bucks are going to pull it out.
And finally, Cam.
I'm taking the Bucks.
All right, fair enough.
Number one.
Finally, number one is the Celtics. The bottom line of it is this. This team that has underachieved, even making an NBA final, this team has underperformed over the course of their tenure. They are as significant a favorite to at least get to the finals as any team I can remember since Golden State had an unfair advantage. The Celtics getting knocked out this year will be something akin to what would have happened if the KD Warriors had gotten knocked out on their way to the NBA Finals. They were almost unfairly good, and I think it could happen. Now, I'm much less confident in that based upon what we saw from Joel Embiid the other night. But I think if the Celtics don't at least make the NBA Finals, it will be, I don't know exactly what will happen, but I think that their significance of their favoriteness, that's terrible English, is the reason for the pressure.
I want to push back on the notion that they have underperformed over the last few years. I have some numbers that I think are going
to,
if not disprove that.
Miami last year, we didn't even show up at home in game 7 of an Eastern Conference final. They went down 3-0 to an 8th-seeded Miami Heat team last year, fought their way back, got a miracle to win game 6, came home, and didn't even show up to play game 7.
So are we not to make mention of the 10 playoff series that they have won since Jason Tatum joined the team?
Yeah, but they haven't won any of the ones that mattered most, and they've been the better team in all of them. The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in, play in action tonight. Heat Bulls followed by Kings Pelicans presented by Indeed on most of these ESPN Radio stations. Back in a flash, ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast. Earlier on Greeny.
You're on the precipice of an enormous gambling scandal, controversy, fill in the blank, of its kind in sports. Something comparable to Tim Donaghy. This is going to happen on a big scale. It's just inevitable. And the fact that everyone can do this now on their phone, in 76% of the states in the union, and having all the impact and having all the access that we do now, I think the idea that we're not going to have something like this happen in sports because it's so prevalent is Pollyannish.
This is Greeny.
That was Hembo in February, before the Shohei Ohtani gambling scandal, before the Jante Porter gambling scandal. And in case you didn't know he had said that, he tweeted it yesterday to make sure you knew it, because no one takes a victory lap quite like Hembo does.
Especially when you were so dismissive of me at the time.
Well, but here's the problem. You're right, but you're also dead wrong, which is to say you were right something like this was bound to happen, but you were wrong when you just imply that it is a disaster, when in actuality, the opposite is true. One can infer that based upon all of the additional attention being placed on all these things, that the guardrails in place that prevent it from turning into something much, much bigger, where the outcome of games are genuinely influenced by gambling and other nefarious forces, are less likely than they were before rather than more. Listen, for as long as there has been sports, there has been people throwing games and other sorts of things like that. The most famous examples of it in the past were boxing. Have you ever seen the movie On the Waterfront?
I've not.
On the Waterfront might be the greatest movie ever. And it's Marlon Brando, won an Oscar for playing a kid who was, I could have been a contender. You've heard someone say that line in your life one time. Because his brother, who was a mob guy, and Marlon Brando was a fighter. And Marlon Brando had a big fight one night. And his brother comes into his locker room before the fight, his dressing room before the fight, and says, "Kid, it ain't your night. We're going for the price on Wilson." And Marlon Brando says, "Not my night. I could have taken Wilson apart. I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender instead of a bum, which is what I am." The bottom line, what I'm trying to say is, A, it's the greatest monologue in the history of American cinema. B, that was going on in the 50s, okay? And there was a point shaving scandal that affected college basketball and almost all the New York sports teams in a huge way in the 50s. And you know what? It was a hell of a lot harder to figure that out then. It's a lot easier to find it now. When you and I can open a radio show talking about how the odds have moved suspiciously on who's going to be the second pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So things haven't gotten worse. I actually think they've gotten better.
Yeah, I think you're right. Honestly, I do. The fact that we have the guardrails in place that have enabled us to catch this and nip it in the bud is an abjectly good thing, a great thing, because it demonstrates that this is a player that couldn't have gotten away with this any longer. That's good. I think what's bad, or potentially what's ominous, is that this is going to be far from the first time this thing happens. Because there are going to be, Greeny, people like Jonte Porter that have this proclivity, that think this is something for which they can get away with, something that perhaps they're, I hate to say it, but potentially addicted to. And so the fact that we have been able to get out ahead of this, and in this case, nip it in the bud and ban him for life, which I think is the right thing to do, is great. I agree with you. But the access that everyone has now to this on their phone, in three clicks, they can do something, especially when they have control over it. Like I said 2 months ago, and I'll say it again today, it's going to keep happening, and I'm worried about it.
But the overwhelming majority of people have no ability to fix a game. They all have the ability to bet now, but the people who are likeliest to be trying to fix these things could always have done so, or at least many of them could always have done so, if so inclined, as evidenced by the fact that they've been doing it. So the person who, you know, is running the front desk at ESPN Security, mm-hmm. or someone else, now all of a sudden having access to ESPN Bet on their phone, does not make Jonte Porter any likelier to be throwing points. Let me just play you, because this is the reason we're here. Charles Barkley last night on SiriusXM NBA Radio, excuse me, said he actually thinks Jonte Porter should not have gotten a lifetime ban.
I wish, because he's such a young kid, okay, 5 years, something like that, to give him another chance. I understand, like I say, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I understand why they did it, but he's such a young kid. I wish they would, because, you know, I'm always, Nick Saban says something, and he's the greatest college football coach ever. He says, yeah, people give me a hard time when kids screw up, and I give them a second chance. He says, what am I supposed to do with them? Am I supposed to throw them out in the trash and wonder what's going to happen for them the rest of their life? And I always tell him I admire him, because, you know, we all did stuff when we were young and dumb. And he says, I'm not going to throw an 18, 19-year-old kid out in the trash and said, good luck the rest of your life. Yeah. I'm going to punish him. We're going to punish him, and we're going to give him a second chance.
So that's Charles's perspective. Jonte Porter, for what it's worth, is 24 years old. He'll be 25 in November. And I respectfully disagree with Charles on this. You have to send the message as clearly, as loudly, and as thoroughly as you can, a message that was already sent, that Jonte Porter would have to have been blind, deaf, and dumb, not to have already been aware of when he made these decisions, that this is the third rail. This is the unforgivable sin. This is the one thing you cannot do in sports under any circumstances. I fully support the way the commissioner handled it.
You absolutely have to banish him for life. I mean, there is no question about it. I understand Barkley's point, and it's a good one. But the thing is, there are certain sins that are unforgivable. You know, we're not sending Jonte Porter to prison for the rest of his life. To play in the NBA is a privilege. It's not a right. And when you have the opportunity to do it, you have a responsibility, at minimum, not to do what he did. Of that, there's no question.
Something important I want to make sure you're aware of. Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com. Very importantly, I want to make sure that you guys are all aware of the special deal that Hembo and I are offering right now. Today's the last day of it. So we have a new book coming out this fall. We couldn't be more excited about it. It's called Got Your Answers, sort of a follow-up I would actually say it's the new improved version of our first book, Got Your Number. This one, I think, is going to be more interesting. And in it, we basically, we settle the 100 biggest sports debates once, forever, and always with extraordinary research. But we've told our publisher a million times, we need to do something special for our radio listeners. Anyone who listens to us on the radio, listens to the podcast, we want a special deal for you. So they have one right now. You can get 25% off if you pre-order the book, but the special ends today. So go to my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny. You will see pinned to the top of my page a link. Click on that link, and you can order right there. It's from Barnes & Noble. It's 25% off the price, but you have to order it today.
You know what? This scandal, this Jontay Porter scandal, is a pretty big one. There's a chapter in our book in which we dive into the very biggest scandals in sports, and there's 99 other lists just like it.
The 10 biggest sports scandals in the history of sports is one of those lists. Order it today on my Twitter. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.